Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. It's a show that one of those topics that we've been asked to do, and we decided to go forward with it. Tonight's topic is going to be how to deal with toxic people. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can press 1 early on your dial, and we will be able to bring you into the studio. We would love to hear your thoughts, how you deal with toxic people. And I'm almost certain that all of us encounter somebody out there who has a toxic attitude or behavior, without a doubt. So we just want to know how you may find that you're coping with them or dealing with them. Tonight, we're hoping to be joined by Ms. Cross, my co-host for tonight's broadcast. So before she comes on, I just want to once again reiterate that we're going to be talking about dealing with toxic people in your life. And by toxic, I mean people who are negative, people who are constant complainers. You know, these are the people that that I'm going to be talking about tonight. And, of course, it's up to you, the listener, to decide who it is that you think are would be considered toxic people. You know, I want to hear your thoughts. You know, some of the people have sent in comments, and they talk about they're married to someone who's toxic, or they're dating someone who may be toxic. This can be in my opinion, this could be a real serious issue. When you talk about, you know, being toxic, being negative, someone who's, for whatever reason, they just complain all the time. And look at the complainers. And I, you know, as I reflect back, I'm thinking about people who complain, are they really successful? Do they get far in life? The complainers. So tonight we're going to be talking about how to deal with some of these people, how to deal with toxic people in your life. And I've known quite a few people who are toxic. I mean, people who are absolutely toxic that, you know, it's almost so bad that you don't even really want to be around them. They just, everything that comes out of their mouth, they won't give you a chance to really talk, or they won't even listen to you in some cases. They just come with the utterance of things that are just irrelevant, things that are just not that important, but things that are complaining. And these are things that they talk about. So before my co-host comes in this evening, I want to hear from some of you all. How have you ever dealt with a toxic person or a person who is so negative? You can press 1 on the dial and we'll bring you in. I want to take this opportunity and also let you know that we have my book out there. It's 33% off right now, so you can get that. 33% off. Okay, excuse me. We're not going to do Facebook Live tonight. I kind of have an injury that I'm nursing, so we're not going to go Facebook Live tonight, but hopefully we'll bring you Facebook Live next week. All right, let me go to the phone lines just before I bring my co-host in. And let me go to 352-560, a different area of Florida. Who do we have with us and welcome?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Liz again from last week.
Okay, Liz, thank you for joining us, Liz. Liz, just before I get started, I want you to tell me, how do you deal with toxic people in your life, now or in the past?
Well, I follow God's word in the Bible. When he got sick of those people coming against the Israelites, the Jebusites, all those Amorites and those different ites, he just, in the word, it says he cut them off. So I get somebody on my nerve, and I didn't do nothing to them, and they just want to, you know, give me a hard time and irritate me and insult me and criticize me when I'm trying to help them. I just cut them off. I do not fuss them out. I do not cuss them out. I just cut them off and no more communication with them. Bye-bye.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Liz. You think that it's that easy to just somebody who may have been in your life, and we're going to go to the story momentarily, someone who's been in your life for a number of years, is it really that easy to just cut them off just like that and say bye-bye?
Well, it depends. Now, if it's a family member you can't get away from, or if it's, you know, a neighbor you can't move away from, then you cut them off the best way you can. You know, if you still have to live with them or if you still have to live by them, well, you can't move across the country, but there are ways to avoid them. And it says in the Bible, if it's up to me, be at peace with all people if you can. But some people are difficult no matter what.
Yes, that is so true. That is so important. So you use the word of God as a means for you to cut people off. Okay, all right.
Yes, I don't think I should have to take their insults when I'm trying to help them.
Okay, all right. What if it's a case where you're not trying to help? What if it's a case where you're not trying to help somebody, and you find yourself just caught up in, you know, somebody who's just toxic. So what do you do in that case? But you have to kind of associate with them in one way or other. It could have been a past coworker. So what would you do?
I would try to avoid them like the plague. Any way possible I can avoid them, not speak to them, not walk by them, not be around them. Any way to avoid them, I would avoid them at all costs.
Okay. All right. All right. We're going to go to the, just before we go to the story, let's go to 267-902. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walker Show. You're on the air live. All right. 267-902.
Hi.
All right. We're going to come back.
My phone was on mute for a minute.
Okay.
How's everybody? This is Coach Irma.
Okay.
Oh,
we're doing well,
you.
Coach Irma. Yes. Coach Irma is the author. Her book is just out. Why don't you go ahead quickly before I bring my co-host in and tell us about your book, and then we're going to go to the story after I bring my co-host in. Go ahead and make your commercial, Coach Irma.
Okay. The book is out. It's on iUniverse.com. The title of the book is The 7 S's That Birth Your Dreams. It's a workbook within a book that helps you really unlock what's going on in your life if you feel stuck somewhere. Some people are stuck in a mundane. This is really to, you know, grease the wheel and get going again. I can be reached at irmawilson.com, 267-902-2898. Thank you so much.
Okay, excellent. Let's go ahead and bring my co-host in. Then we got to get right to the tonight's story. Ms. Cross, we appreciate your patience. Thank you, and I'm sorry it took me so long to get to you. Good evening, and welcome tonight.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. How are you?
Oh, doing just wonderful. You know, tonight we're going to be dealing with how to deal with toxic people. And, Ms. Frost, while I've got you, and once again, I apologize for bringing you in so late, but just tell me, how would you define the word toxic when it comes to people?
I would say, when I use the word toxic, it's someone that actually kind of brings you to a negative place, right, or a negative space in your mind. This is always, you know, when we hear the word toxic, we hear, you know, I think poison. I think, you know, just something that's not going to be healthy for you, that's going to bring you down. So I just think toxic people are kind of those people that are always negative or kind of make you feel guilty or make you feel bad about yourself. Like, those are the people that, you know, we tend to, unfortunately, we have probably all had experiences with some type of person like this.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Cross, and I like that definition as well. We're going to go to tonight's characters, Pauline, Quell, and Robert. We have three of them, Pauline, Quell, and Robert. Now, you really want to pay attention to this story. There's an old saying that great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds, somebody's dog is barking. Small minds, that's people. All right, so here we go. Pauline, Quell, and Robert. All right, Pauline, they're mixing us up here with that background noise. Pauline, Quell, and Robert have been friends since they started working together on the same job nearly 8 years ago. Pauline has excelled in the company and now works as a manager on the job, while Quell and Robert, they work in production control and low-end jobs and have not made progressive gains since being employed some 8 years now. The trio have been getting together and having lunch at work for a number of years. This recently stopped because Pauline could not deal with the toxic behaviors coming from Quell and Robert as they confront every single thing you could possibly think of, including but not even limiting the following. Number one, they complained, they talked about their unhappy home lives. They talked about everybody at work, including Pauline. They gossiped about people at work. They talked about the unsatisfactory, they're being so dissatisfied in their own families. They complain about the system, the American government system. They complain about the country. They just don't stop the complaining about every single thing. Now, their toxic behaviors have gotten worse as the years progressed, and Pauline is now realizing that she's making progress in her life because she does not subscribe to the negativity that surrounds her friends. Now, the situation has become so intense. That's right. It has become so intense that Quell and Robert have separated themselves at work from Pauline and insist that Pauline is thinking that she's better than they are. And that's not the case. Pauline has reached a boiling point and desires to leave her toxic friends to their own misery, as she has been trying to help them over the years, and that's been to no avail. Now they have turned on her, but she does not seem to be worried about it because of her consistency and maintaining a positive attitude. Now, the question that I start out with tonight, Ms. Cross, and that is, just because Quell and Robert complain, does that mean that they're toxic just because they're complaining about everything and everybody?
Well, I think I do, because everybody can have a problem. If everybody seems to have a problem around you, it may very well be you. And it's so funny because I'm listening to this story, and to an extent it reminds me a lot about my lesson that I learned in terms of, you know, walking my own path in sixth grade, right? So I'm going to share with you guys. I wasn't always the best role model in life. But sixth grade, I was, you know, you kind of, you're middle school, you're transitioning in. And I was doing good in all of my classes except for that one class, because I had that one teacher who kind of allowed us to run amok, so we did. So everybody, and my daughter's so funny, she goes, everybody, I'm like, I don't care about everybody, what about you? But most of the kids in there were kind of doing the wrong thing, and I joined the crowd of doing the wrong thing. And I remember what happened, what was my reality check was my teacher because she found that I was doing A's and B's in everybody else's class and doing terrible in hers, she called my mother. And my mother said, what? If you ever, I'm going to come and, you know, my mother, like, threatened me. And my mother doesn't curse or anything, but it was very scary for me. So I, and she told me if I do, the teacher had told me that if I did not pass the exam with an A, I wouldn't pass the class. It got that extreme. So I remember I was like, okay, you know what? I need to turn my brain on and learn. So I actually took my time, took the exam, and I got like a 98 on the exam. One of the highest grades in the class. And the same kids that I was with, they were jealous. And she passed our little test around and everything. And I remember one of them took my test and threw it away.
Wow.
Yes. This is supposed to be one of my friends who were getting in trouble. We're acting crazy together. And because they were jealous, they threw my test away. And I remember I was so upset. I was so hurt, but I couldn't really find out who did it. But I remember thinking at such a young age, I was like, why are you minimizing your potential because of the people around you who are not even capable of reaching the levels where you're supposed to be? And I was because some people, they act like that because they're not capable. They don't have the same light that you have. And they will see that, and if they can get you doing the same foolishness they're doing, it makes them comfortable. But as soon as you step out into your real element, then that's when it becomes a problem. So, Ray sounds kind of familiar.
Okay. All right, Coach Irma, let me move over to you just for a second and ask you the question. Is that a reason for Pauline, similar to Ms. Cross's story, is that a reason for Pauline to disconnect from her friends, Quell and Robert? I mean, is that justifiable?
Absolutely. In my book, The Seven S's That Birth Your Dream, one of the S's is separation. I talk in great length how sometimes separation is important and we should embrace separation, know when to cut the ties, because people that are toxic, you know, they will bring you down. You would not, like Ms. Ross says, you would not perform at the level that you know you can perform at any level, whether it's a friendship, a marriage. If it's a toxic situation, your vibe, your spirit is not where it's supposed to be, you will not flourish. So it is very important. I talked about leaving a job when you think it's becoming toxic, when you think it's becoming, because a job would make you physically sick when you're unhappy with it for so long. So it is very important that we know when to walk away.
Okay, Coach Irma, okay, I've got to ask you this question, and we're going to continue with tonight's story. Well, I mean, in dialoguing on it and discussing it. But you said if your job is starting to become toxic, I mean, walk away from are you saying walk away from $150,000, $250,000 job, and you have created this exorbitant lifestyle? Are you saying just if the job is becoming too intense, walk away from that, Coach Irma? Come on, really?
There are people out there that walks away from big time money. Yes. However, I don't suggest that you walk away like that, without planning. Without, you have to have an exit strategy. Once you realize you're very unhappy, and it's affecting. When you're unhappy, it bleeds into every part of your life. So once you realize that, my teaching is from positive psychology. The book is written on a positive psychology tone, because that's the food of the spirit. That's what God says. The food of the spirit is joy. The food of the spirit is love. So when you don't have these kindness and joy and love in your life, you're not living a good life. So money it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But I suggest that you strategize, you plan, you look for another job, you build your business while you're there. You have to have a plan and not just get up and leave like that. But sometimes when you don't leave, the job leave you. Sometimes you get so sick, you get heart attack at the job, you are forced to leave.
Okay, all right. That's an interesting point. And I'm familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. It's found in Galatians 5:22, and there are nine of those that's mentioned, and I encourage you all to go take a look at those, the nine components of the fruit of the Spirit that the Bible talks about. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let me just ask, Ms. Cross, let me bring you back in. If you want to speak to tonight's topic, how to deal with toxic people in your life, and, of course, send in your comments, you can press 1 here, and we will entertain your thoughts on how you may have dealt with toxic people or how you define toxic people. Ms. Cross, you know, speaking about that, I mean, I'm thinking about Pauline and Quayle and Robert, and, you know, as I think about them, I think about their stories, and I can't help but, I mean, that dog is really, the sound is coming right through here. So we're going to try to mute some people in a moment. Okay, Paul, Ms. Cross, I got to ask you this question. Is there, and that question becomes, is there a difference between complaining and being toxic? And I think you sort of to start off with that earlier. Is there, and you said no, really. But is there really a difference, in your opinion, now that you've had some more time to think about it?
Well, to me, the way I feel, I don't see the difference. Because I do not like people who just complain. Like, you have to try to come up with a solution. Like, life can't just be so miserable. Like, if life is so miserable, what are you doing about it, you know? If you're in a situation and you're that unhappy, what is your next step? It can't just be 10 years of complaining about the same thing over and over again. What is the point of that? You know, so I am very much, I always say, solution focused, right? So if you call me with problems, my question going to be to you is going to be, what can we do to fix this? Like, I can't just continuously, you know, so to me, complaining and toxicity is one and the same, because after a while it starts getting to my nerves. Like, I start feeling, you know, I'm kind of dreading the call. Like, oh, Lord, I know this call is going to be, you know, it's going to be a Debbie Downer. You know, I know I'm going to come off of this phone either upset or sad. You know, so if I start feeling that way, then, yes, that's toxic to my spirit. That's toxic to, you know, my moving forward. So I tend to be mindful of these things. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, we get pulled in. You know, it's just to kind of take a pause and really reflect on how this is affecting you.
Okay, awesome. All right, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is how to deal with toxic people. We're talking about three friends that have been friends on the same job for the past 8 years, Pauline, Robert, and Quayle. And what has happened is Pauline has made progress on the job, and she's already reached the status of manager. And while her colleagues, Quayle and Robert, they work in low-end production jobs, and they have not even tried to progress throughout their 8 years there. And these people, one of the factors is that attributes to their not growing, or their growth is, they find themselves complaining about everything and everybody. And they've even recently started complaining about Pauline, and now Pauline has disconnected from them, and they're saying that she thinks she's better than them, when that's not the case. It's just that she does not want to be around that toxic lifestyle that they've demonstrated. And after a while, I would think that they would start to get tired of each other. And let me go in and bring Liz in. If you want to speak to the issue, press 1, and send in your comments as well. Liz, let me come back up to you and ask you,
yes.
Do you think that there might be a time, and we're going to ask you to be brief because we got to read the comments tonight for certain. Do you think there's
yes.
a time when Quayle and Robert might get tired of each other's complaining, or maybe not?
Yes, I think so. If they're rubbing each other the wrong way or affecting each other in a negative way, you know, because like Dr. Phil say, you are either a contributor or a contaminator.
Wow, a contaminator. I like that.
Good.
I do. Ms. Cross, what do you think about contaminators? I mean, we know what the word contamination means, and I mean, I like that what she just said. I mean, could it become contaminated? Could let's say, if Pauline continued to hang around Quill and Robert, could she possibly have become contaminated?
Yeah, she probably, the thing is, the funny part about it is, she probably was, you know, in order for them to have been friends for so long, she was contributing, I'm sure, to some of the negativity, until she probably stepped outside of that and said, you know what, I'm really here to grow. You know, because everybody's rationale and reason for doing things are different. But there's no way you're going to be around someone for 15 years and they don't affect you in any way. So you definitely, you know, there's definitely going to be some mixture in there.
All right. Excellent. 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 I think I found out where that noise with the dog was coming from. We had to mute one of our parties. We'll come back to them momentarily. Are you listening live to the Dr. Jess Walk Show? 347-857-1769. We're starting to get some comments that are come into the studio already. And Liz, we're going to ask you to take a look at this first comment that has come into the studio and respond to it. This female writes in, she says, I personally think toxic people are the worst type of people you will encounter. The way I deal with them is as soon as I hear anything negative come out of their mouth, like Quell and Robert, I find an excuse to get from around them. What do you think about that comment?
I agree with her. I think that's the best thing, because people can either help you to have a positive day or they can help you to have a negative day. And when you think positive in your mind or your thoughts, then you release the healing chemical endorphins that heal the body. But when you think negative, or when someone causes you to think negative, you release the negative chemical in your body, cortisol, which causes damage to the body and harms the body.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that scientific information.
You're welcome.
So you think that she's on point, that she gets away from around them, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
She should get away from them.
All right, and I certainly agree with that. Let's go to Coach Irma and ask her, bring her in for this next comment. This male writes in, he says, my first wife was very toxic because all she did was complain about the people she worked with and everything else. I got tired of hearing that, so the way I dealt with it was to end the marriage because she would not stop being negative and toxic. Now I'm at peace. Coach Irma, I mean, he got rid of his wife because she was complaining? That's interesting.
That is interesting. And sometimes, you know, people hear relationship is not, I don't know, for some reason, they don't value marriage like we used to. If your wife is complaining about the job, if there's a light bulb that went out in your home, do you throw away the whole home? You change the light bulb and keep it moving. So
okay,
you know, maybe that needed to be a transition. Ask her to stay home for a few months, take a breath. And that's what people don't realize. We are responsible for our mates. Not so much responsible, because we are responsible for our own selves, but we need to contribute to each other's well-being. We need to contribute to each other's happiness. So,
but Coach, I got it. You would suggest what?
I would suggest, you know, maybe you can take care of the bills for a few months until she gets herself together to get another job. That would be a solution.
Come on, Coach Irma. Really? I mean, let's just think about it for a second. Let's just say, I mean, this person is complaining every day. You're hearing, you know, you're hearing this all during the day. And, I mean, how realistic really is for people to not have a dual income coming in? That's one issue. But then if you don't have that, I mean, if you do have that issue where you need that dual income, I mean, who wants to really listen to somebody that's complaining all the time? You know, that's toxic.
Well,
so you're
she's
saying
not
that
complaining.
He should have just absorbed this?
She's not complaining about the relationship. She's not complaining about their relationship, their home life. She's complaining about a job.
Right.
She needs an outlet. She needs a break. She needs, before you get up and leave the whole marriage, if it's about the job, it's not about you.
Okay. Well, remember what you said earlier. I believe this was you that said something about, you know, maybe it comes a time when we change jobs, and I'm paraphrasing here. You know, so could it be that if she's finding that much to complain about, and this is why I would think, if you're finding that much to complain about your job, you know, because I think it was you that said that some jobs are toxic. And, yes, it was you because you said walk away from your job. And I asked you a question about walking away from $150,000 or $250,000 job, and you said have an exit strategy. And so now I'm hearing you say, Coach Irma, that she needs that outlet to wreck his nerves. Coach Irma, help us out here.
Well,
you're a coach.
I am a coach. And if a couple comes to me and says, I'm about to divorce my wife because she's complaining about a job. Yes, we need to find a solution before you can jump to leaving your wife.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
If it's for you to support her for a few months, that's what you might have to do.
Okay.
I don't agree that she needs to sit in the job and be miserable and continue to complain about it, but you don't leave your wife because she's complaining about a job. Let's find a solution together. Let's work something out. Maybe you can do something. Go and leave while you look for a job. I'm not sure what the exact stuff is. But, you know, it's too easy for people to get up and leave relationship though.
Well,
right.
I agree.
Right.
You have to work
Ms.
at
Cross,
it first.
Ms. Cross, let's bring you in. I mean, at the same time, I can't see. This is day in and day out. See, you know, science, psychology tells us that men and women perceive sounds differently. So when someone is nagging in your ears, even the Bible talks about that, you're better on the top of a roof than being in a house with a woman who's nagging. So, I mean.
But here's the thing, right? Because I am so, you know, the man is the head of the household. So if this woman is so unhappy that she's complaining every day about this job, I agree with Coach Irma to an extent to where, what are you going to do to help the situation? Like, because I remember I was on a job and I wasn't happy, but I would get encouragement, okay, let's look for another job. Him going on Indeed, like, help her transition into another job. You know, if she's so miserable, like, give her an outlet. Give her, you know, we kind of talk about things, or men will call us complaining about things, but we're not complaining about things. Sometimes we're looking for guidance. Right? Sometimes we don't want you to say a thing. You know, women are different. I'm going to be honest. I know we are. But sometimes, as you know, as my husband, if I'm telling you how miserable I am at my job, then you say, okay, baby, like, what do you want to do? Like, why wasn't that question asked? Like, what do you want to do? What about looking at a job elsewhere? What about, you know, sending, you know, I want you to care about me. Send me a text message on some jobs that you see that I will fit. You know, what about that? Instead of leaving me, now I have my life is messed up. I don't have a husband, and I have a rotten job.
Right. So, Ms. Cross, I gotta ask you this. I just want to ask you this question. You're a social worker. You're anger management certified anger management therapist. Come on now. Have you ever been to, let's say, a school, right? And you visited some kids. Or a place that seemed like it was totally chaotic and out of control that you say, I just can't, you know what, I got to get out of here. It's just too loud and it's just out of control. Have you not ever been in a dwelling or a situation like that just for a brief time, a moment?
Of course. And my mom had four kids.
Right.
My
so
mom had two
having
kids.
Been there, so having been there, Ms. Claus, so, and you find an escape. You know, you find an escape. So if this guy is dealing with, I mean, I understand what he's saying. If he's dealing with that day on, day out, day in, day out, constantly, and I'm certain that he didn't just walk away from her without some type of rationale of trying to probably explain to her after he got tired of listening, what if he was married to her for like 18 years and it hasn't stopped? And then so...
our part in relationship. And
help me.
I had this conversation with one of my good friends, and I'm not, you know, I'm just going to give a general, right? So the whole situation was the person was unhappy because the other person in the relationship wasn't doing what they needed to do, and, you know, as in terms of their role, what he felt, he or she felt their roles were. And my question was, this is partly your fault. And I remember I got a pause, and I said, the reason why I say that is, if you are unhappy, why is it taking you 2-3 years to express this? And if you express it once and nothing has changed, like, what's the next step? You just gonna keep on being in a situation where you are unhappy, and you expect this person to figure out that you're unhappy? Like, I just don't get the rationale behind that. Like, we have to be accountable for our own feelings and our own decisions. Because if you're going to stay with someone and you're miserable, that's your choice, too.
Okay. Now, I'm hearing what you're saying, the tail end of this now. We have to be responsible for our own feelings and our own decisions. So this guy who sent in this comment, he took responsibility for his feelings. He got tired of that, and then he made a decision. And it's
I would say good. I'm happy for the woman that he left. For him to leave her at her vulnerable time means that this kind of, you know, is a little. I just think it's a little. I think Coach Irma touched on it too. That's kind of selfish. Like,
you think
you just leave?
Okay. She probably told her friend. He probably was telling his friends at work so much about his wife getting on his nerves, and you know people are always in your ear. Saying that, they're letting me know now to tell you all, give you all a sneak peek of next week's show. You all don't want to miss this one. You want to tell all your friends about this particular show topic. Next week's topic is going to be on your job. Now listen to this: on your job, how much personal information should you reveal to your coworkers? That's next week's topic. On your job, how much personal? This is a story that you will not want to miss. You got to tune in next Thursday for that one. On your job, how much personal information should you reveal to your coworkers? That can be so deadly that you all got to wait till next week to hear that one. But let me go back and let me bring in another question here. You know, I'm just kind of stuck with this toxic stuff. You know, and I heard you all earlier say, get from around the people, but I guess it doesn't apply when it becomes your spouse. Is that fair to say? Coach Irma, let's bring you back in.
What is the question?
That does not apply when your spouse is toxic, or does it?
It does apply. It does apply.
It does
because
apply.
You can, yeah.
Okay.
It
all
does
right.
apply
we'll take
because
that.
First of all, to get to toxic, you studied somewhere. You studied with a little bit of complaining. You studied with complaining, start arguing, arguments start every day of the week, and it can go on and on and on before it becomes really toxic.
Well, that's what I'm thinking the guy said, Coach Irma. He's, you know, so you said it can apply to the spouse. I mean, after hearing this for so much, you know, it does sound toxic. And you said earlier to get away from around, and you said to even leave a job.
Yes.
That's deep.
However,
okay.
The toxicity, when you have toxicity between in a relationship between me and you, when you have somebody who's dealing with a problem outside of your relationship, yes, it is a problem that you guys can tackle together.
Okay.
If it's a problem, if it's an outside problem, you have people married with children, like the modern families, they have children on both sides, like I do.
Right.
There's outside stuff that would prevent a relationship to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but if it's about a job, you don't leave your wife for a job. And
right.
I'm a big believer that separation is inevitable at some point.
Okay. So let me ask you, Coach, I gotta ask you this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I gotta ask you this. Are you saying that every marriage could possibly be worked out? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely.
Every marriage could possibly be worked out.
Absolutely.
Mm.
If marriage is work. First of all, for your marriage not to get to toxicity, you have to work at it to maintain it in a healthy, happy relationship. It takes work to do that.
Yeah, but that word work sounds like it has a negative. Who wants to keep working all their lives over the same stuff? You know, the word work seems to sound like it has a negative connotation. Now, if it's a labor of love, but, I mean, if you got to work at the same thing, and I often tell people this, if you're in your marriage and you're having the same problems for the first 5 years, there's a good likelihood if nobody changes their behaviors or their ways, then you're going to have those problems for 50 years. The same issue, because people don't change overnight. And then if you had this problem in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I know they talk about the 7-year itch, but unless somebody makes a change, either one party decides to accept the other party's demands or wishes or compromise, or unless both parties come to some type of mutual agreement, you're going to have those same problems for 10, 15, 20 years. And what I find that people stay together, and I can't understand it, and they still got the same problems for 30 years. And then some of these people, after 35 years, now they want to go get a divorce. I'm trying to say, and they're in their, like, late 60s and 70s. I don't understand that one. But let me bring, let's bring Liz in just for a second. Liz, just briefly, could you see people stand together in a toxic marriage?
It depends, I think, on how much you love that person and how much you can put up with them.
Or put some earplugs in, right? You just can't what, Liz?
You know, some people have a high tolerance, and they can put up with a whole lot of bull crap. And some people have a low tolerance, and they're like, I can't do this no more. I can't put up with this. So it depends on a person's tolerance and how much they love that person. And, you know, is this person, you know, can they help themselves from, you know, complaining? Or is this a part of their personality? I mean, can we get some counseling? Can somebody help us, please? You know, because, you know, if you look at in the Bible, okay, God sent, Moses, I think he sent the two spies to go spy out the land, 12 spies. 2 came back with a positive report, 10 came back with a negative report, and saying we're like grasshoppers and they're like giants. Well, the other 2 said, oh, yes, we can conquer this. You know, Caleb and I think it was it Joshua and Caleb said, oh, yes, we can conquer, you know, these giants and conquer the land. So you got 10 negative, you know, to the 2 positive, and then the children of Israel, 11-day trip that they could have made to the promised land took them 40 years because they was whining and complaining.
Okay. So you're saying, so God got tired of all of that, whining and complaining,
yes.
And what would have taken them 11 days? So then, I mean, doesn't it kind of make sense to let you just stay out there and just wander in the wilderness? I mean, why tolerate that? And that, I mean, God dealt with that, you know, but that was, he put them out there for themselves to deal with it, in my opinion. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, if you're, we don't have the longevity of years like they had back in the day. But I'm saying, why would you be somewhere unhappy? And that was the question that I asked you, and I don't know if you answered it right off. You know, should you stay in a toxic marriage? You said it depends.
I feel like it depends on how much you love that person and how much can you tolerate. You know, because some people have a low threshold and some people have a high threshold. You know, some people have a small constitution. Some people have a large constitution. You know, some people could take a whole lot and some people can't take a lot.
Right. Okay.
So
Ms. Cross,
I think it depends on how much. Mm-hmm.
How much you love that person. Well, thank you for that. Ms. Cross, just a sneak preview for next week on just a sneak preview for next week's show. On your, when the topic will be on your job, how much personal information should you reveal to your coworker? Ms. Cross, how much should, just a sneak preview, give us your thought on that, just briefly.
But with
and
that
why?
Being said, I want to, on this job, I want to shout out my friend Yvette. Because you know what? I think we have shared some personal things. But I think what happens, I can say in my experience, you find that one person who is who you can relate to, and who when you start sharing, kind of have a similar story to you, or they may be able to offer you kind of what you're looking for at the time. So I can say that maybe, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but do disclosing that, you know, it's not wide open. I don't think I allow myself to be wide open, but I do disclose personal things. I do.
All right. That's going to be next week, you will not want to miss next week's show, because this will probably shock and amaze you all on next week's show. How much personal information should you share with a coworker? And, I mean, I would just want to let the cat out of the bag so desperately, but you're going to find it quite interesting. There's going to be a twist to it, but you don't want to miss next week's show. All right, coming back here now, Coach Irma, we've got another comment that says, help me, please. And this person said, I've been dating this guy for the past 6 weeks, and he is so toxic until it's unbelievable. I want to end the relationship before progressing any further, but I'm not exactly sure how to go about it. Any suggestions would help. Coach Irma, as a life coach, this has only been 6 weeks, and the guy is so toxic. She apparently she likes him, and she wants to make it a smooth transition. What, if anything, would you advise her if you were coaching her?
If I was coaching her, I would definitely not waste any time to tell her, let it go. have the hard conversation, and it's 6 weeks. You're not vested. I usually push people to get professional help because.
Right.
But 6 weeks is not even worth it because you haven't even built a real relationship in 6 weeks. If it was a little more vested, I would say to get some professional help. Sometimes people get professional help to break up, believe it or not. No, it's not worth it. Have the hard conversation and keep it moving. Life is short.
But tell us exactly some of the wording that you would use. She comes to you and she says, Coach Irma, this guy, he's just getting on my nerves. He's just so toxic. I like him a lot. In fact, I could love him, but he's just turning me off. How do I break it down gently to him that I don't want him anymore because I can't deal with that? Should I give him another chance after talking to him? What do you say to her?
No, I wouldn't give another chance because if in 6 weeks you have time to build toxicity, it's really not worth it. So I'm sure she mentioned what is it exactly that she doesn't like. So I would reference back to this conversation and say, look, we've been together for 6 weeks. Within the 6 weeks, it's still early, and these are the conversations I've had with you to see if we can change. I can do this. And after you do that, you have to block him on your phone, block him on social media, and move on, because you know some people cannot take it. But you have, you are responsible for yourself first.
All right, all right. We'll take that. Ms. Fox, we're going to bring in the next comment for you. And here we are. This person says, this male writes in, he says, I think the worst toxic people are the ones you work with. My question is, there are three people on my job who are absolutely toxic, similar to Quail and Robert. They seem to enjoy each other because all they do is gossip about everybody else. For some reason, they all seem to gravitate to me. How do I get rid of them in a nice way or otherwise? Ms. Cross, that sounds pretty deep. They gravitate to him. What's causing them to gravitate to him?
He probably has a very neutral-looking face. Sometimes, you know, misery likes to, you know, that saying, misery loves company, right? So right. Sometimes the people, and unfortunately, I have seen to where you, when you're neutral, people tend to want you to pick a side. And probably because right. he looks neutral and he's probably neutral, they're trying to, you know, pull him into the dark side. So it's kind of unfortunate. But see, I think with my approach, I really think it's good to be straightforward with people. I know that doesn't work for everyone. It works wonderfully for me. But that's just based on the fact that, you know, I've been in situations where I haven't been straightforward, and it just did not work out. It worked out to where I had to eventually, you know, I look like the bad guy anyway. So I'm like, just deal with the situation as it is once you're dealing with it. You know, don't wait 10 years and then you're like, you know, I hate that you do the X, Y, and Z. The person has no idea, and then you look kind of special because you took so long to tell this person how you feel. So my approach would be, listen, right now I'm not really, you know, I would tell the people that, you know, I'm just very straightforward. I know the approach doesn't work for everyone, but I probably would say, you guys are kind of negative. And mm-hmm. I'd rather mm-hmm. not be around you. That's me, though. Like, I've been, you know, I've been at jobs. And like, I went in, just to kind of share a little joke. So I worked at this one job. And the office was so negative, everybody had something bad to say. And I would jokingly say, listen, you guys need some sage to be burnt in
here. Wow.
You need to burn some sage because you guys are, I said, what is going on? Why are you guys so angry? And, you know, of course they would dismiss it because sometimes people can't even see the negativity that they're, you know, projecting. But I think I'm kind of big on just telling it like it is, subtly to an extent, but to get my point across.
Wow. I think sometimes people have to have it that way. Let's shift gears, and we got a final comment that we're going to take in. And let me start out, Miss. I'm going to ask the three of you all two questions that are pretty much the same question. And I start with you, the first round, Liz, and that is, have you ever been told that you are a toxic or a negative person? I mean, if you want to say pass, that means you don't want to answer it. And we would know the answer if you say pass. But have you ever been told that?
Not so much toxic or negative, but I have been told that I am a depressed person and that I look at the glass half empty instead of half full. And for example, I had had just moved to an area, and the new neighbor, she asked, could she use my phone? And I said, yes. So I let her in the door, and the phone was right by the door in the living room. And she bypassed the living room, bypassed the dining room, went straight to my kitchen and my refrigerator and opened the refrigerator and said, I need some eggs, and took my eggs out, said, I need some bread, took my bread out, and went in the freezer and said, I need some meat, and took my hamburger out. And she said, oh, yes, and I need some cheese for my old man. And
really?
I'm standing there in shock. And she never did use the phone. And so I told my friend about it, how she did me, and my friend said, that's your fault. And I say, my fault? What did I do? She said, you let her do it. I said, well, I didn't know she was going to do it. And so my friend was saying that it was my fault because I didn't speak up, and she blamed me, you know, saying that, you know, I let people walk on me, you know.
Right.
So
right.
She said I was a depressed person, which I thought I was a nice person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry that that happened to you, and perhaps
you
should have spoken up and told her, say, get out of my refrigerator. But nevertheless, she, I guess
I didn't know she was going to do it.
She's not going to get something for her, but for man. Let me, I'll bring my portion into. I was told some time ago that, you know, sometimes I seem to think negatively. And so what I did was I listened to what the person was actually saying, and so that I can see where my thinking was at the time. And surprisingly, as I listened, that helped me for my growth. Coach Irma, just quickly here, we got about 3 minutes before we close the show. Have you ever been told that you're a toxic person or a negative person? And if so, how did you deal with that?
I can't say that I've been told that I'm toxic, no. If anything, they tell me I'm too optimistic.
Okay.
Yeah, it's almost like a joke. Why are you so naive? Why everything has to be so bubbly and happily? But I do look at life in a positive lens. No, that's not a problem I have. That's a good thing.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's go quickly here because we've got about 2.5 minutes. Ms. Cross, have you ever been told that you're a negative person or a toxic person? If so, how did you deal with it?
Overall, I haven't been told I was negative or toxic. But I know I have had negative moments. Like, you know, in terms of sometimes going through different life situations, I hear myself being negative. You know, I tend to, but what I try to do is catch it probably before the next person catches it. But like some of my best friends, they'll sit down and say, okay, Mila, like you're kind of coming out of your, that's my nickname, you're kind of coming out of your element, you know. So I've always been blessed to have people around me who allow me to catch myself before I take it there. But overall, I do try to, you know, I do tend to look at life positively, but I'm very much a realist when it comes to life. So it's like that can kind of be perceived one way, but I'm just kind of like, you know, this is what it is. What it is what it is. It's just like, how are you going to deal with it? You know, are you going to accept it or not? So I have that type of mentality, you know.
All right. Then I'm sure we all know people who are toxic or negative. I know quite a few of them, and I try to avoid them like the plague, too. Someone said earlier. We'll take this final comment because we're almost down to. We got about 90 seconds left. Now, this female, she writes in. I think this is beautiful, and I saved it for the last one. She says, "Here's a strategy that worked for me with people who are toxic." She said, "Number one, I begin to ask them a lot of questions, which causes them to become annoyed, and they go away." Number two, she says, "I give the impression that I'm not even listening by not giving them much eye contact and being on my phone." Number three, she says, "I pretend like someone is calling me or texting me and make it seem like it's urgent. This has worked for me so well until people don't bring their junk around me as often." She says, "Good luck." Let's take these one at a time real quickly, and let's start with you. We only have 15 seconds. I don't want to have to cut anybody off. But what do you think about that? Number one, she says, "I often begin to ask them a lot of questions, and they become annoyed." What do you think about that, that strategy? Liz.
I agree 100%. And, you know, you can even act a little illiform or crazy or retarded, and they'll make sure they don't come around you no more. They say, "Oh, she crazy. No, let's go somewhere else."
All right. Let's go to Coach Irma. Coach Irma, what do? You know, ask a lot of questions and make them annoyed. What do you think of that strategy?
I let them know. I let them know this is, you've been talking negative here. Let's can we change the subject? This is depressing. I let people know.
All right. Okay, we're out of time, but I'm going to give a last word on all three of these here to Coach to Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross started with the first one. She said she annoyed them by asking them questions. How do you deal with that? But you got to be quick because we're out of time.
Well, everybody has a different strategy to win the game. So
right.
That's what works for her, then that's, you know, that's what works for her. But it's true. People that are negative, they usually don't want you to be too positive because it annoys them. Or asking those questions like, what's going on with you today? You know, it's going to annoy them. So I get why she does that. I get the logic.
I do too. Number two, Ms. Cross, we're going to stay with you on all three of these. She says she gives the impression that she's not even listening by giving them no eye contact. What do you think about that? And pretending like she's on the phone. What do you think of that one?
Well, I like that one. I like when I'm on the phone with someone, I have to put the phone down. And when you hear, like, yeah, okay. Because sometimes you don't need it. It does. It'll take away from your energy.
Absolutely. We call them vampires, right. Vampires suck your blood. Okay, number three, Ms. Cross, she says, I pretend like someone is calling me or texting me and make it seem like it's urgent. So how do you like that one? I like all three of these.
Yeah, I do. Let me call. That's my line when I'm annoyed. Let me call you back. Because I cannot allow you to take me from 0 to 100. You know, I can't. So when I was younger, I used to be the debater. I love to debate.
Uh-huh.
But as I get older,
right.
I'm like, let me call you back. I just, your energy, I don't want it. You know?
Right. Now, Ms. Cross, you just revealed something to me. You're my co-host, and I've heard you tell me, that's why, let me call you back. What are you saying?
No.
I said, now, Ms. Cross, you got me paranoid. Every time I hear you say that, I want to be wondering, did I annoy?
Dr. Walker, stop it. You can't be putting me out here, ladies. Not at all.
So now the truth be told. You know, on that note, Ms. Cross, bring us on. You got the final word. Bring us on in the next 15 seconds. Just take us on.
All right. So I want to say, guys, that you have to understand, one rotten apple spoils a bunch. So if you surround yourself, whatever you surround yourself around, even if unconsciously, it will become a part of you and a part of your reality. So we have to be very selective on who we allow in our lives and what we allow in our lives. So for the young lady who's now a manager, she's growing. A weed doesn't like to see plants grow. They don't want to pull you back. So, you know, eagles and chickens, their view of life is totally different. So when you're an eagle, you fly.
There you go. That's one of my favorites too, of being an eagle. There you go. I love it. Listen, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. Please continue to tell your friends about us. We'll be live back on Facebook next week. Sorry we weren't able to get on there because of an illness that I encountered earlier. So we will be back live next week when the topic will be on your job, how much personal information should you reveal to your coworker? You definitely don't want to miss the story. The storyline is going to be about everything. And we've got a publication coming out next month in January. I mean, in November. It's almost January. So you don't want to miss next week's show. Join us here live tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational program, which begins from 7 to 7:30. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's broadcast, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Walker Show, Dr. Jess Walker Show, when the topic will be on your job, how much personal information should you reveal to your coworker? Until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. God bless you.